Praise the Lord, everyone. You may have your seats. So once again, the word of the Lord comes to us from the New Testament book of Hebrews at Hebrews chapter 9. And our entire reading for today is from Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 23. All the way down to verse 28. And so what the word of God says is that it is therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Let us pray. Eternal God, we bless you. We thank you. We honor you. We glorify your name. Thank you for this opportunity, God, this preaching moment, this time in your word, God. We ask, as we have before, that you would just send down now the anointing that will qualify the preaching. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, Lord. You are my every strength and you are my redeemer. Won't you now, please, Father, hide me behind the cross of your son so that these people, the ones that you've gathered from out of your world, God, the sheep of your pasture, would hear more from you, God, and less from me. We ask this all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Somebody join me and say amen. Come on, somebody join me and say amen. Somebody say amen like you agree with God. Amen, God. Amen. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. I want to say hello. Hello, hello to Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We said it before. Somebody say hello to the Holy Ghost. Hello, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you haven't spoken to him today, he is with us. I pray that God has endowed you with his Holy Spirit. And every once in a while, it's good to say hello. We say that sometimes to people that we know that we love. Also to these fine preachers, ministers of the gospel, long lost friend. Somebody say hi to Pastor Bob. Good to see you, Bob. I'll just send out an APB for you. Wasn't quite sure if we needed a helicopter, a boat, a tank, a submarine, or what it was. We just could not find you. But it's good to see you again. And to Pastor Don Ponifar, somebody say hello to him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. They say give honor to whom honor is due. And to you, gentlemen, say hello to you. As we have said to these young ladies that have adjoined themselves by assenting to the beck and call to Ms. Marcy. I'll say hello to you. It's good to see Marcy again. Somebody say hi to her, y'all. Hey, Marcy, good to see you. And to Patty, and say hello to you. No reference to, bionic, abilities or capacities or nothing like that. We'll lay that alone, Jamie Summers. It's good to see you. It's good to see you all again. What about that worship band up there? Come on, give God some praise for them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bill. Slow down. Stop that. It's good to have worship with you again this morning. I have this distinct pleasure, my brother and my sister, to share some comfort with you. And so I want to just add on to what we have already read. This from the New Testament book of Romans, at Romans chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. The Word of God says there, "Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God." Somebody one more time say, get ready, get ready. It's good to be here, and a distinct pleasure to have this opportunity to say again what I said to some family members on this Friday in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. My wife and I, my son, we traveled up there, and I had the opportunity to eulogize my cousin. But I was absolutely amazed that I had to go back to this today, and I tried to get out of God's way and do what he asked me to do. And so we find ourselves here. I just want to ask you, if you give me 45 minutes, I just want to encourage you to get ready. We're taking a break, from the previous series of messages that I had brought, and from Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, and we just stopped here. The times that we are living in provide us with all the reasons that we need for an alarm. Am I right about that? Would you confirm that? We woke up today in the second full week of a war that's raging on the other side of the world, and according to what we are seeing, Hamas is today causing end time alarms to sound, and many are becoming concerned that the parade of pestilence, wars, and rumors of wars merit something from believers. I believe that all of this is correct, and it's well founded. Based on Luke 21:28, I say to the believer, look up. But to every person, today's message has a general application, which is for all of us to get ready. That is to say that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, or if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ today, we all have this common thing that we need to be prepared for. Is that all right? Is that all right? I pray that it is. This is not something that we can miss. I will suggest to you again, just get ready. Our message comes from a familiar and an important book. This is the book of Hebrews. A few of my favorite scriptures come from this book. Opens up with Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, which says, God, who in sundry times and in diverse manners spoke to the fathers by the prophets, speaks now to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Also, my brother, my sister, there's a few of our favorite scriptures here at Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and is the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that would come to him must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I don't want to belabor it, my brother, my sister. I just want to tell you that I'm happy in the Lord today because of what the Word of God says. We come to this place today from different perspectives. We've come from different avenues, different cities. But above all things, our message today indicates that there is one central way in which we are all the same. We are all the same. We are all mortal. And the principal meaning of that is that we all die. Are you here with me? We all die. Our physical bodies are not eternal. Without being morbid, I hear the scripture saying, from dust you came and to dust you will return. Our text says, it is appointed unto men once to die. This has been my issue. This has been my issue long beyond the last couple of weeks. And perhaps it's been your issue too. When death comes, we've all said that this was not supposed to happen. It comes and sweeps away a loved one, family member, a neighbor, and we are left standing saying, why? Well, because we are not above average. We're not super. And we're not beyond death's reach. I'm not trying to be morbid, you all. There is something on the other side of this that we are expecting, a great expectation, a great hope for us all. But we all go this way. So even though we want to put off these thoughts, reality continues to speak. There are two ways that we could look at this. One only is meant. Time-driven people would focus on this saying that we must be talking about a designated moment in time. Again, our scripture says that is appointed unto man once to die. Focusing on that appointment, some might think that we're talking about a designated moment in time. And I don't want to sidestep that. I assure to you that God knows the moment that he will take you from this life. Just as sure as you drew your first breath, God knows when you'll draw your last. That hasn't escaped him. He is an all-knowing God. Will not happen and cause God any surprise. He will prayerfully welcome you home. But when we read this scripture from Hebrews 9:27, this is the fact that we should be aware of. We all have a portion. We all have been assigned. Every one of our lives, unless Christ intervenes, will end this way. Some of us become a little bit more familiar with this just recently. We may be nice, though. We may be good. We could be evil. We could be healthy. We may be unhealthy. We may dress this flesh up. We may put makeup on it. We may pamper it, take it to the gym every once in a while. We may take all of our vitamins. Some of us have left the vitamins alone. And one of my good friends told me that he was on some sort of diet where you could eat bacon all day. I'm like, right in there. What's that? What's that diet? Regardless what we do, these bodies have an expiration date, if you don't mind. But that's not really what we're talking about in regard to this scripture here. The scripture here is just saying that if you live, you're going to die. This is what we read from the New Testament book of John at John chapter 10, beginning at verse 11. We know that there the scripture proves that that Lazarus died, and some might question whether or not Lazarus had the opportunity or he was one to have died twice. But I said to you before, as I said to before, unless Christ intervenes, this is what the scripture says there. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him from out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he is asleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of something, spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. But as it is mentioned, as I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, we'll all die unless Christ intervenes. In verse 25 of that same chapter, Jesus said unto her, being Lazarus' sister, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. John 11 records Lazarus's certified death. Look at verse 39. The scripture says, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, and if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And he took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by I said it, and they may rather believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead, being Lazarus, came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him free. Yet in our text today is an interesting principle. Yeah, we all die. I think that we are overwhelmed with the fact that I'm young, and we think that we are indestructible. We take for granted that we'll have long life, but sometimes that's just not the case. But we all do die, and we're beyond that. The scripture says, then after that. And so let me speak on that subject for a few minutes. Written in most faiths in the entire world is the understanding that there is life after death, and that there is some correlation between what we have done in this life and the conditions of the life to come. And so I want to say to you again, my brothers and my sisters, get ready, get ready. This is the whole crux of the matter. The part where we discuss the fact that is appointed unto man once to die is important. But what really matters, my brother and my sister, is how will you spend your life after death? This is what Matthew says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 24 to 29. This is Jesus speaking. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Verse 25 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. In Daniel chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, the scripture says this, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting condemnation. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever." Friends, my neighbors, church members, the reason why we are here at this text today is that we all have an apportioned death that is coming sooner than soon for some. Some of us will live into our later years, but for some of us, the truth of the matter is our days have been numbered. But this is what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is speaking to us from the scriptures. He is coming back. He's coming back for the quick and for the dead. He's coming back for those that are alive and for those who have died physically. He is coming back, and when he comes back, he's coming to judge. Isn't that what our text has said to us? It says, "But after this, the judgment." Judgment is a type of a conversation piece that we like to avoid. We'd like to think that judgment is reserved for us, and that we have the right to judge others without ever having the concern or the fear for being judged ourselves. Many of us have shortened our friends list so that we will find fewer and fewer people that judge us. One of the daily things that we as husbands face is the watchful eye of our wives telling us that you didn't go to sleep right. You didn't wake up right. You didn't come down the steps right. You didn't eat the breakfast right. You didn't leave the table right. You didn't push in your chair. You didn't. My, oh my. We have been blessed. We have been blessed. This is a precursor. There's someone who is copiously aware of everything that you're doing, and thank God for our wives. Listen, all of the men are laughing now, but you are doing the same thing to your wives. Honey, you didn't get up right. Honey, you didn't go to sleep right. You didn't open the mail right. You didn't make the juice right. You didn't cook the chicken right. You don't work at the right place. You don't come home on time. And so for all of the women, you too are copiously aware that there is a God in heaven who you hope will sometime judge him for the stuff that has been coming out of his mouth. Praise God, these are all precursor. These are all precursor. On the other side, when the storm clouds rise, when strong winds blow in our lives, when these buildings that we are living in stop their creaking, when Christ calls us home, the first face that we'll see after this life that we're living will be the face of the judge. Let me put this just as plain as I can to you. He is the judge and he is the jury. He is the executioner and he is our counselor. He's our advocate. He's our intercessor, and he will read our sentence. Marvelously, Christ is all in all. He, for us as believers, he's everything to us. And some glad morning, when this life is over, songwriter said, we'll fly away. This is comforting to the one who is in Christ. We believe this. We have hung our hats on this, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. old things have passed away, and some of us, aware of all of the things that we've done in this body, have shouted out a hearty hallelujah, because my lion, cheating, nerd, dirty, rotten, nasty self has died. He's been put to death. I said to you before that Jesus Christ, that God was trying to kill me, and I really did mean it. God wants to kill that old man. He wants to put him to death. Wonderfully, our old man has died in Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, help me out here. Let's read the text. Let's read it. Galatians chapter 2. We'll step back a minute. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says this. I am crucified. There you are. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not I that live, but it's the Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live by the faith of him that loved me and gave himself for me. And so for the believer, we have this wonderful thing that gives us joy in sadness, that gives us hope in the midst of sorrow, that on the other side of this life, my advocate, the judge and the jury, is also the one who has died and paid the purchase price of my redemption. When I see his face in glory, I know that he's going to welcome me into his home. This is what Isaiah says in Isaiah 53. Isaiah says that he was wounded for our transgressions, and that he was wounded for our iniquity, and that with his stripes we were healed. Somebody in here will praise the Lord, because as we get ready, as we become aware of the fact that we'll all die, we have all accepted Jesus Christ. Prayerfully you have, and you have died in Christ. And so when you rise from the grave, you will rise in Christ. This is absolutely wonderful and magnificent, that Christ has died for us a substitutionary death. Magnificent. We understand that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So as we prepare ourselves today to go out, to dress it, to exercise it, to put vitamins in it, to comb it, to make it up, to lay it down to sleep, to wake it up in this morning, realize that our physical bodies have an expiration date. And there is a need for us to prepare for that date. We don't know when it's coming. Many of us have calendars, and we know that we have an appointment, but we're not quite sure what time it was. We kind of aware that it's 2 days from now, or next month, next week, and we try to prepare for that appointment. I have my brother Glenn gave me a call this week and told me that he had a doctor's appointment for Monday, but ahead of his appointment, he had to eat some things and had to drink some things. And I just want to talk about this for a second, that before you get out of this life, there are some things that you have to do. Is that all right? There are some things that you have to do. And let's get this right. As Jesus Christ told Nicodemus during his late night visit, you must be. You got to be born again. And we could, when we can go back, we could go back, we could go back. If you are saved, if you profess Christ, on this side of heaven, you got to live right. You've got to talk right. You've got to pray right. But for everyone, if you want to see Jesus, the songwriter said, you must be, you got to be born again. Born again of the water and of the Spirit. That's not a step that everyone has taken. I know that we are all prayerfully here. Anybody saved in the house? Is anybody saved in the house? Anybody? Are we missing anybody? Well, this is just why we find ourselves here. This is just why we find ourselves here. When I went down to Philadelphia, or up to Philadelphia, is it over to Philadelphia these days? I used to live in Boston, and I was going down to Philadelphia. I used to hang out in Atlanta. That was going up to Philadelphia. I used to go to school in Clarion, Pennsylvania, and that was over to Philadelphia. I don't know where it is. Somewhere I need a gyroscope or something to keep me on my feet. But the reason why we are here today and the reason why we are preaching is because the purpose of preaching is the gospel. Romans chapter 10 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the word. But how can they hear if they do not have a preacher? And how can he preach if he is not sent? There's somebody, always one, who this message is meant for. I wondered on Friday when I was standing before a room full of Muslims and Jehovah's Witnesses and those who didn't know the difference. As we're coming into the days that we're living in today, there are more and more people that don't know the difference. There are more and more people that have never heard that there's a God in heaven. We're coming into a time where there are more and more people have never heard that there was a Jesus. They've never heard that he died on the cross of Calvary. They've never heard that he paid their sin price in full on the cross of Calvary. And that after he died, he got up out of the grave again to prove that he was God. As time passes, there are fewer and fewer teachers. As time passes, there are fewer and fewer preachers. As time passes, we are taking fewer and fewer chances, fewer and fewer opportunities. Less and less of the gospel is being preached because they won't listen. They won't hear. So I woke up this morning saying, God, can I preach something else? Then I was reminded of the words of Jeremiah, but it was like fire shut up in my bones. I got up this morning hearing, get ready, get ready, get ready. Because we aren't all ready. We aren't all prepared. Sure, I preached all the sermons. Sure, I taught all the Bible studies. Sure, I drove the church van. Sure, I went down to the hospital. Sure, I visited the sick. Sure, I went to visit the prisoners. Sure, I sent money here and there. Sure, I sang the songs. I played my guitar, but I'm not ready. It's possible for you to think that you clicked all the boxes, but the fact of the matter is you're not ready. Sure, I cooked the chicken. Sure, I cleaned the floors. I set the light. I made sure the sound was ready. I picked people up. I carried them. I drove them over. I came down to the building. I sat outside until the sermon was preached. I heard the preacher say that I had to be born again, but I never, ever understood that message was for me. I thought it was for somebody else. And so, well, whoever you are today, whoever's listening to this message today, maybe they're not here. Maybe they will hear this message 10 years from now, or 10 months from now, or 10 minutes from now, 10 hours from now. But you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. As we were in the the Sunday school this morning, we were talking about the water of the Spirit. And that if this water was flowing in your life, you would bear the fruit of the Spirit. Mind you, our watchful eyes are checking your ID. Mind you, that as you, if you say that you are saved, if you say that you've been delivered, the fruit of the Spirit could be evident in your life. But if you say that you are saved and there is no ID, you got to be born again. What would we be saying to get ready, get ready, get ready to a room full of believers? Because we wear a mask. We come to church on Sunday morning. We say the right things. We sing the right songs. We clap when it's appointed to us to clap. They say stand up, we stand up. They say sit down, we sit down. They say clap again, we start clapping again. They say sing, we sing. But clapping, will never equate you with being a member of the team. Is that all right? The folks in the stand are clapping, but they don't have uniforms. Amen. They're cheering and they're jumping up and down, but when they leave the stadium, they'll go home, and the team will go on its happy way. You got to be born again because you want to be a member of the team. You want to go to heaven and live with Christ forever. And so what's the difference? What's the difference? If all are born and all die, what's the difference? What does it matter? I'm going to die anyway. Well, it's here. In Hebrews chapter 9, and we'll get there. As soon as I finish turning these pages, Don hid my pages today. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28 says this: so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. What's this mean? It means that for those that have received him, those that have been adopted into his family, this is John chapter 1 verse 12 says, many as received him gave he also the power to be called the sons of God. And unto them that look for him, my prayer is that you're looking for him. My prayer is that you're looking for him. And in the days that we are living now, the scripture does beckon us to look up. We're hearing today of pestilence in biblical proportions. I don't mean to say that there's any time outside of the Bible, but I would say in biblical proportions, as if this is not a cold. This is not the flu. In our own days, we saw pestilence that should have made us as believers look up. The bitterness of people today. There's no love anymore for anything or for anybody. That should make the believer look up. Not only do we have this concern with the war now of Israel versus a gang, Hamas, we have the concern of another gang, Hezbollah, opening up a second front, and the proxies of Iran opening fronts all over the Middle East. And its friends. We're concerned today with what is Vladimir Putin's response to this? What is the response of Erdogan to this? What is the response of President Biden to this? And are all these things related? How does it impact me? The way that it should impact the believer is that as these things occur, we should be looking up. But as they occur, we're looking more on the level of the things that are happening rather than looking up. We should be looking up to Jesus for Jesus to come. The Bible says again that a time shall come when the Lord shall descend from heaven with the shout of an archangel, and at the trump of God, the dead in Christ will arise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm on the so shall we ever team. They're here, number 773. Double zero, right? Double zero. My prayer, my concern is that everyone here, everyone within the sound of our voice, as we come here every week, we sing these songs, we hear these messages, we have communion, we shake hands, we laugh, we joke, we get back in our cars and we go back to where we came from. We could do this with our eyes closed. So the concern is, when you came down here today, did you get something? When you came down here today, was your heart changed? Was your mind fixed? When you came down here today, did you learn something of him? When you came down here today, did you accept him? Did you believe him? Were you changed by the word of God? And so for today, if you're hearing my voice, Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that has heard and accepted him, the scripture says that he is not condemned, but the one that has denied him is already condemned. This is what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. The Bible says this: if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things have become brand new. The Bible says this: if you confess your sin, God is faithful and he's just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Such as before, that if you say that you have no sin, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. So how do I get myself ready? So how can I be prepared for when Jesus Christ cracks the sky? If you hear my voice today, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Can I add this? That accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior is not like working out in the gym. This is not preparation for a race. This is not preparation for some athletic competition. This is preparation for forever. And forever and forever. Accepting Jesus Christ in your life is not like eating the right cereals. Accepting Jesus Christ in your life is not like ironing your clothes and making sure that you get in the car on time. Accepting Jesus Christ in your life is soul food. If there ever was soul food, your soul needs to be fed. So something happened to me about 49 years ago. I went down to the church meeting. It was a Sunday morning. Easter service. My pastor, the Reverend Dr. Vernon R. Byrd, was preaching. Toward the end of his sermon, he said, the doors of the church are now open.
for the receiving of members. And if you haven't asked Jesus Christ into your life, we're inviting you to come down and to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And while he was saying that, something on the inside started working on the outside. And my little feet, the little feet of Michael Rogers, the 9-year-old Michael Rogers, the one that was living in a home where he could walk down the steps and see drug needles all across the floor, all on the ground of our streets. That little black Michael Rogers, they used to call me little black boy. I was darker complected than the ones that I lived near. And I thought all of us were black. They called me little black boy. They called me Black Mike. Black Mike went down to the altar that day. Something happened down there. My life has been forever changed. Not because I prepared for any type of physical frailty. And I'll admit to you that this body is frail. I wish that I might have gone to the gym every once in a while. I wish that I might have taken some vitamins every once in a while. I wish that I might have worked it out. I wish I might have pushed it up. I wish I might have made it up or cut it right every once in a while. But the one thing that I can tell you that I've done in my life right, I may not have picked the right school. I may not have picked the right friends, but I decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I'll follow. No turning back. No turning back. The cross is before me, and the world is behind me. No turning back. No turning back. My prayer for you all today. You've probably prayerfully you've accepted Jesus Christ. And this has been all redundant for you. But if you've been coming down here, and you've been ticking off the box, and you never had a relationship with Jesus Christ, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today. This is not just assenting. This is not the point. This is not just assenting that Jesus Christ is God. Okay? This is not just assenting that there is a God. Okay? According to the scriptures, the demons know God and they fear him. You haven't done anything special when you believe that there is a God. The real question for us all is, have you trusted in him? Have you depended on him? Is he truly your all in all? And let's get this right, too. Just because you say with your mouth that Jesus Christ in your Lord is your Lord, and you don't walk like Jesus walked, you haven't allowed him to be your Lord. Salvation has a walk. Salvation has a way in your sitting. Salvation has a way in your standing. Psalm 1:1 says, Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the godly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, in his word, does he meditate both day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bears his fruit in its season. Can I tell you that this is the season for the believer? This is the season for you to bear fruit. And if you don't bear fruit, I'll know that you're not blessed. The world will know you have no fruit. Just as Jesus Christ was down by the Jordan River, and the Pharisees and the scribes came to be baptized, and Jesus Christ looked at them and he said, "You brood of vipers. Imagine that. You brood of vipers. Who warned you to come? Where is the fruit of your repentance? there ought to be some fruit in your life. And we shouldn't have to provoke it out of you. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, there'll be fruit all around, all over the ground. Somebody will say, I know that he's saved. There's a whole lot of fruit on the floor. He's got fruit in his pockets. He's got fruit in his hat. There's fruit in his car. There's fruit at the gas station. There's fruit at the gym. There's fruit at the job. He's got to. You must be. That's all I want to say. Get ready. Because Jesus is coming. Was that in the text? He is coming. He is coming. He is coming. He is coming. And the reason is that he's coming to judge. He's coming to judge. And I want to be ready when a judge comes in. This is fascinating. Normally, down at the courthouse, when the judge enters into his chambers, the bailiff will say, "All rise." Everyone who knows that the judge has the ability to sentence everyone in the room to his whim will stand. Yet we, as believers, came into the courtroom of our God. And we sit down on him. We sit down on him in our daily life. Yet we know we are in the presence of a holy God. And I'm not just talking about your physical posture. Our spirits should rise in honor of him who has the power over death and life. And the bailiff will say, "Now entering the courtroom is the honorable." And no one should have to tell you that God is honorable. He has earned our respect. He has earned our worship. He has earned glory. He is holy. There's none like him. Yet we stand in God's courtroom, lackadaisical and unaware. Many of us not even paying attention to the fact that the judge today is holding proceedings. As we sit in our seat today, this word is walking itself out. Our family members are dying, some of them without Jesus Christ in their lives. Our neighbors are dying, some never even hearing the name of Jesus Christ, because they watch us as believers sit down on God. Are you here with me, somebody? So if I stand up for Christ at the gas station, my neighbor will say, "There must be a God in heaven that's worth walking right, that's worth talking right, that's worth suffering." And as I said before, Sister Katie, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, but we can't even die in the break room. The snack machine. When nothing comes out of the snack machine, we'll lose our whole mind. We're being called to die for Christ, and we can't die there. How is that going to inure to the glory of God? Not at all. Not at all. And so as the judge comes in the courtroom of your life today, the question is, do you know him? If you don't know him, you ought to get to know him, because he is the judge. Give him glory. give him honor. By the time the proceedings are over, by the time that sentences are about to be read and to be carried out, everyone stands in order to hear what the judge's ruling will be. And even if the case has been reviewed and there is a jury there, the judge will read the sentence that the jury has arrived at. Might I suggest to you that you all will have a sentence of life or death read to you? And so as the judge begins to open and to read the sentence, all I want to hear, and I'm not concerned about, can I tell y'all this? Can I just be frank? Y'all, and I want y'all to love me, but it doesn't matter. Did I say that right? I want you all to appreciate me. I want you to embrace me. But if you don't embrace me, that's fine too. Amen. I'm just a mail carrier. That's all I am. Okay. I just came to bring a message. Okay. My name is whatever. I got a little uniform on. I drove a little Jeep up, and I'm responsible for dropping this message in your box today. Amen. Don't like me. Don't know me. Okay. But the message is very clear. Get ready. Jesus Christ is coming back real soon. Lord, we thank you again for today. We thank you for this opportunity to have been in this place. We glorify you. We magnify you. God, we seek your praise, your glory, your honor. And so for today, God, if there's someone in this room that has not accepted you as their Savior, we want to pray. No, you don't have to stand up. You don't have to say anything. Let us pray together. Lord, I came here today. And again, like the preacher man was saying, I came here with every presumption that I was a superman, and I was above this sentence of death that is written in my body. I'd never come to even be concerned about it. But as this preacher seems to suggest, I now agree, just as I live, I will someday die. This preacher that you have has told me that after my death, that I don't just go to sleep, that I'm not annihilated, but on the other side of death, there's an after this. Lord, right now, I want to be ready when Jesus comes. I want to understand, Lord, open my wisdom to your glory. So that when I come into this relationship, it doesn't seem like it's all about me, but it seems like it's all about you. Lord, I submit myself. I submit my heart. I submit all that is me to you. And not because you've done good. It's because you are good. Because you're an unchangeable God, and I deserve, and you deserve my worship. And so, God, I come. I've heard that if I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of all my sins and to cleanse me of all my unrighteousness. And I come today. I've hidden everything that I said and I've done. But today, seems like you know all about it. It seems like you're willing to forgive me. Lord, I confess my sins. Won't you forgive me like you said you would? And I call on your name. I call on your son, Jesus Christ. And I remember now what the preacher said about him paying for my sins. I accept. I accept. Lord, I want to be yours. I want to be right. I want to be holy when Jesus comes. If you've prayed this prayer with me and you really come to give God glory, you haven't come because you want something from him other than the opportunity to give him praise, and you've confessed your sins, the Bible says, as many as receive him, gave he the power to be called the sons of God. Accept God as your, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord today. Now, Lord, we bless you and we praise you. We honor you. We give you thanks. We ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Somebody here say amen. Come on, somebody here say amen. Come on, somebody say amen like you know him. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless y'all. Y'all have a wonderful, wonderful day. Amen. Hallelujah.